This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com. Friday edition of the program. Big show coming your way. Coming up in just a matter of moments, Josh Jones of your Seattle Seahawks will join us on the phone. So we will talk to him about the game coming up against the 49ers this weekend, where we assume he's going to see a fair amount of time out there with the unfortunate injury to Jamal Adams. So we'll talk to him. Sam Haggerty, a fan favorite, will join us at 2:30. Our conversation, our weekly conversation with Mike Blowers at 3 o'clock. Then we'll do a little opponent preview, voice of the opponent, Dave. Greg Papa, the voice of the San Francisco 49ers, will join us at 4 o'clock today. And then we'll do mean texts in the 5 o'clock hour. Yeah. So you guys can get creative. Text in your mean things. Just be creative. And brevity is key. We say that. It's effective that way.
Good example. Yesterday, you and I were talking about how if I believe that if I got $200 million, I would be turned into a weirdo.
Yeah.
Somebody texted in, how would we know if Dave was a weirdo or not?
Yeah, how would we know
what would be the baseline?
That's how you do it.
And that's how you do it.
The text number is 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. So you can do that throughout the show. Meanwhile, we've got Josh Jones of your Seattle Seahawks joining us right now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing great. Hey, you guys have had a week to sort of digest what happened, focus on the 49ers, but I just want to bring you back to that game quickly and just tell me about the environment. I know for a lot of people out there, you know, a lot of players that haven't spent a ton of time out there, it can be a lot of fun and sort of a wake-up call, like, whoa, I've never experienced this. What was it like?
You know what, man? That was the loudest game I ever played in. Like, somebody could be right in front of your face and you can't even hear anything that they're saying, man. It was a great environment, forever for the rest of my life. Remember that game.
Yeah, Josh, you know, nobody gave you guys a chance, and I'm not sure how much you guys were aware of that, but a little bit of a chip on the shoulder, and obviously the fans had a chip on their shoulder too, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we knew going into it, you know nobody's gonna give us a chance. Obviously, since the spring and the summer, everyone counted us out. So we knew that, that was something we already knew, but it wasn't about them. It's never about the other team. It's always about us and the guys in the locker room. So we kept it like that.
Hey, just as far as, the build up to that game, we were talking about just the hype. It's Monday Night Football. It's the season opener. Russell Wilson's coming back to town. I mean, it's kind of hard to duplicate everything that went into that.
Right.
Do you guys talk at all about, hey, we can't have a letdown. We can't have an emotional letdown, heading out on the road, taking on the 49ers.
Absolutely. That's typical with any, big win, you don't want to carry those emotions over into the next week. And that's kind of what Tell the Truth Monday is for. We have that thing here, just kind of letting out everything, what we did good and what we did wrong, and, just moving forward to the next game. We look at it as we 0-0. So now we just got this game coming up, and, now we're looking forward to trying to go 1-0.
Hey, Josh, from what I've seen from the 49er run game in particular, you got to be really disciplined against these guys, it seems like. And, you mentioned the short week, but what are you seeing? Is it as they talk about all the shifting and the motion and stuff
right.
like that. What have you seen from that run game?
Well, obviously, they're one of the, better running teams in the league. But a lot of the offense is just smoke and mirrors, trying to get you to, look one way and then go the other. But like you said, it's about discipline. It's just about trusting your keys, trusting your eyes. And once you do that, everything else will just fall right into your lap.
Hey, as far as getting called into that, obviously the downside is Jamal Adams gets hurt. Nobody wants to see that. But you get thrown in there, and I would imagine we're going to be seeing a whole bunch of you this weekend. How different is that preparation for you going into a game like this, knowing?
Literally no different. I can honestly say that it's no different. I prepared last week like a starter. And I'm going to continue to prepare the same way, continue to do my same routine that I've been doing each and every day from the time I wake up to the time I go to sleep. So it's no different as far as preparation. You know, I work for this moment and this opportunity, and it's just time to, you know, just go out there and just be me like I've always said.
Hey, Josh, you got a great story I read today on Seahawks.com. John Boyle wrote really cool. I mean, it was just really interesting reading it. And you were at one point, you know, you were drafted by the Packers, played for Cowboys, Jacksonville, the Colts. And so, you know, you come here and the story is that before the last game of the year, Pete pulls you aside and says, hey, you've got a future here. And that seemed to have a big impression, made a big impression on you. Tell us a little bit about how that went down.
You know what? That was kind of, you know, the type of conversation that we had. It was sort of like a deep conversation. And that was the first time I ever had a conversation like that with someone like a head coach in the league. And especially, you know, that's Pete Carroll talking to you, man. So, you know, I was just like, I was shocked, in a sense. But at the same time, you know, that meant a lot to me, coming from him. And, you know, I was just, you know, still, you know, I just got here, you know, a couple weeks prior to that, you know, so I'm still going through the emotions of everything that's, you know, went on in my life prior to that. So for him to, you know, us to have that conversation the night before the game, it played a huge role going forward.
Yeah, you know, Josh, I was going to say, I think that's the power of Pete Carroll. Like, he is, he's like no other head coach. And, you know, I've noticed the times that I've talked to him, he makes you feel like you're the only guy in the room. And and then, you know, just, I mean, would you pretty much attribute, because you were at one point talking to your brother thinking, maybe this just isn't for me. Is that, did that conversation with Pete have that big of an impression with you?
It did. Obviously, like I said, man, it went a long way, man. You're looking at a guy that has so much success, man, a coach that has so much success. He's coached so many great players. And you can even go back, you know, to the LOB, man. Sherm, Earl, Cam, all of these guys, man. So for him to, you know, see something in you, you know, and for him to see something in you and talk to you and say, hey, look, man, I see something in you, like, you know, but however, you know, you still have to earn your way, you know, that just puts, you know, fuel to the fire and just makes you want to just, you know, all right, well, maybe I still got it. Maybe it is something in me that I'm not fulfilling in myself. Yeah, that I have to, you know, that I have to bring out. So, you know, it was, like I said again, man, it was huge for me.
Hey, as far as what this defense is this year, and we'll all find out after a few games, but just in terms of your role and the defense itself, how different is it with Clint Hurt there versus what was going on last year?
I don't know what, you know, like I got here, you know, with four games left and wasn't too much involved in the defense until the last game. So I can't really compare defenses. I can only, you know, speak on, you know, what we're doing now. But, I would say it's completely different, you know, from the outside looking in because, you know, they kind of ran what they've been running, you know, the past, I don't know, X amount of years since they've been here to cover three scheme. So that's all I can say about that. That's the different, you know. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, I mean, you know, I was going to ask you about the 4-3-3-4. I mean, you've been in four different teams, and do you think people maybe over-exaggerate the differences? Like, you've probably seen a little bit of just about everything that they're running, right, in your career?
I say this about defenses. I tell people this all the time. You know, defenses are kind of like the same. It's anywhere you go, but you know, people may call it's different verbiage.
Right.
So the same, you may have a same coverage responsibility, but in another defense, it may be, you may call it something else. But it's just a learning the verbiage. That's the only difference. But you know, the same cover four is cover four. Cover two is cover two. Cover one is cover one. Cover three is cover three. But it's just how, okay, it may be different tools in certain defenses or different verbiage or, you know, how they may see it, how they may want you to play it. But, you know, it's all the same, man. You can't get any different than, you know, what defense has been running for the past, you know, years.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's funny. Sometimes they'll rename a defense that's been run since 1975 or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. And only difference is it may have been put together in 1975, but over the years, you know, it's just growing and growing and growing. But, you know, it's still the same.
Hey, Josh, you know, as far as your number goes, you, did 13 fall to you, or is that a number that you wanted?
You know what? It fell to me in a way, but, you know, the significance to that is, like I said, my son Aiden, my oldest, he was born on December 13th. Oh. So, nice. You know, it kind of means something to me.
Yeah, it's got significance.
It's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Absolutely.
Hey, you talked about, you know, working with Pete obviously is a unique guy, but how does this, having been in other places like Dallas, Green Bay, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, how does being in Seattle, just the facilities, the environment, how does it compare?
Oh, man, it's the best. It don't get no better than this, literally. And I'm not saying that just to, I'm not exaggerating. Like, it literally is the best. Like, when you just come here, man, and you just feel at home. It's like everything is here, everything that you need. You know, everybody is they're here for you. It's super. It's just different from the other places that I've been. I'm not throwing shots at other teams and saying that, you know, other organizations aren't as good. But you know, this is just the best that I've been around personally.
Well, Josh, would you say it's because you're talking about the people? I mean, it's obviously a beautiful facility. It's on the lake.
Right.
You know, that would be like a 5-star restaurant up there. But the thing I've noticed, it's more about the people and how they treat you, right? There at
exactly.
the VMAC.
Exactly. And that's the biggest thing. You can have the best facility, man, but if the people inside aren't right, man, then your job is going to be super hard, man. So we got, you know, a great facility. You got a great facility on the water. You know, you got the scenery. And also, man, you got some great, wonderful people in the inside that, you know, just makes it all worthwhile when you come into the building.
Hey, all right, Josh, this is just maybe because I'm an old man and I get cranky about things, but you said coverage, so I always say it's you cover a guy, you don't guard him. And sometimes maybe that's a you thing, that are you guarding that guy? But to me, guarding is basketball. Is it guard or cover? What do you say?
I say coverage.
Now we really like Josh.
Guarding, I would say guarding is more like NBA-ish.
Yeah, exactly. And I always say they call them coverages, not guardages.
Because
right?
you got to understand. Coverage to me is just talking. It's not just including one person. I think NBA is more, when I think of the NBA, it's more like kind of like a ISO type of game. Like you can, one person can take over the game.
Yeah.
In the NBA, but, you know, in football, it's a lot different. Like, you're working with a lot of – in coverage, you're working with not just yourself. You're working with, you know, other guys. So,
hey, Josh, I'll tell you what, man. You got a great story. I loved reading about you, and going to be rooting for you this weekend, number 13 out there. That was that's really cool that you stuck with it, man. You're like the definition of grit. So, and
yes,
I know
sir.
Pete talks about that all the time.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Yeah, congratulations on the start this weekend, and we're looking forward to seeing you play, man.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Josh.
All right.
There you go.
Take care.
Josh Jones of your Seattle Seahawks. Our Seahawks player spotlight is presented by Mazda of Everett. And a reminder, it is Friday, which means it's a Snoqualmie Casino Football Friday on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Good to talk to him. It's going to be interesting to see him out there in extended time. And, you know, unfortunately, it comes because Jamal Adams gets hurt. But, you know, interesting that there's a guy that, you know, contemplated letting it go, saying, I don't know if this life is for me, if this career is for me. And now you look at him and he's going to be out there.
Yeah, you know, that, again, that's like the power of Pete Carroll. I mean, coming up to him and, you know, that's literally the reason why he's here. Like, he was thinking about giving it up. And also, you know, his family, you know, he mentioned his son is back in Atlanta. So, you know, that makes it even tougher for him to make that decision. And I could see where, you know, after, let's see, he was drafted in 2017 by Green Bay. Played mm-hmm. there a couple years, and you know, he's just been kind of floating around the league. I mean, he's got stats. He's got three sacks. He's got a couple interceptions. He played really well in the preseason, but without Pete giving him that little pep talk there, he may not be here. So, yeah, it was just it was a great story by John Boyle, but interesting journey. Everybody comes there a different way, and it's a guy that's very easy to root for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and just another good dude.
Yeah.
A good guy. You walk away from the conversation going, eh, I like that guy.
Especially the key is, Bob, that he uses cover instead of guard.
Well,
guard
for the NBA. If he said guardage, then we would have said, all right, it's been fun talking to you, man. Good luck. We just hung up.
Yeah, your story, great, whatever.
Yeah, that's cute, but you said guardage. You, yeah. So we're this interview is now over. It's good conversation, and we'll definitely be keeping an eye on him. Meanwhile, the weather is not supposed to be great out there this weekend. I don't know that it'll be like it was in Chicago where guys take a step, you see a big splash, or guys get tackled. It looks like they're, you know, they're on a wakeboard out there or something. It was nuts out there. So I don't know how impactful it's going to be. But, you know, in looking at, all right, let's just pretend it is something similar. Who does it favor? I would think any time you've got inclement weather, whether it's wind, whether it's snow, whether it's rain, the team that runs the ball the best.
Yeah.
I would think that favors probably on the surface. We're looking at what the 49ers do well on offense, their strength. Is running the ball.
Running the ball. Yeah. If Lefkoe was there in Chicago, he'd have brought his paddleboard out.
Yeah.
On that field. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Would have been smooth sailing for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not good for pickleball weather, but paddleboard weather, definitely.
Do you agree with that, right? I mean, it's...
run the ball.
Yeah, you're not... Well, I mean, just in any inclement weather. I know wind is the worst for quarterbacks. They hate wind more than anything. But rain, you're worried about just hanging on to the ball, receivers hanging on to the ball.
It's just miserable, too. You know, I remember in Denver, the one time where I was really played in a heavy rain, it rained the entire first half, so you're just soaked.
Yeah.
And then the weather would change like at the drop of a hat in Denver for whatever reason, and it would drop below freezing. So now in the second half, you're frozen and wet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was pretty miserable. And, yeah, it certainly doesn't favor the passing game, but, man, that – there's such a mystery with Trey Lance. They move up to number three. I had to go back and look at it again. Did they really move up to number three? They don't have a first-round pick until 2024 because of that.
Yeah.
And so what has he done? He played, 14 or was it 17 games?
17.
Division II football.
Mm-hmm.
Played six games last year. And, you know, probably one of his best games was against the Seahawks. Remember, they blew coverage, and he had a 67-yard touchdown completion there. But last week, he had, 220 yards of total offense. I think he ran for 50, 55, something like that. It was 46% completion percentage. I have no idea what this guy can do. You know,
you can't judge him on last week.
No, and you can't. And it's a really a big mystery. And, you know, I like to think that Kyle Shanahan really knows what he's doing and John Lynch. But, you know, I mean, obviously for Seahawks fans, it would be very favorable if he didn't work out. I'm not rooting against him personally. It's just that, you know, and also he might be part of the run game. You know,
he was their leading rusher last week.
Yeah.
13 carries, 54 yards. Boy, you look at the passing, though. He was, as you said, 13 of 28, below 50%, 164 yards, no touchdowns, a pick.
Yeah.
Justin Fields threw for 121 yards.
Yeah.
8 of 17, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. So, I mean, just it was a bad day for throwing the ball.
Well, and also, yeah, absolutely. And then there's also a couple guys that still, you know, you don't really know who they're going to be, both Fields and Lance. So,
yeah. We've talked about the weapons with this team, and we keep talking about, you know, Bosa and Warner. I forgot about Debo Samuel.
Yeah.
That guy's a hell of a player, man. And Kittle, I don't know if he's going to be healthy in this game or not, but if he's out there, those are two guys you look at and go, okay, those are problems. I don't know if Kittle will be 100% if he's out there. Perhaps you get a diminished version of him, but Debo is a guy that gets things done and can take a lot of pressure. Both those guys can take a ton of pressure off a quarterback.
Well, and not only that, remember in 2019, they had like three guys. Raheem Mostert ran for 772 yards in the same running game. And the illusion of complexity, right? And that's kind of what Josh Jones was talking about. He said what he called it was smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
It's kind of an old school way to say it, and or window dressing, we used to call it. But they really, it's the illusion of complexity is the shifts and the motions and stuff like that. But then they had Matt Breida ran for 623, Tevin Coleman 544. You know, they've got that Jeff Wilson Jr. They got, as you mentioned, I think Deebo Samuel is one of the best football players in the
phenomenal.
League. And then, you know, Kyle Juszczyk, who had a couple of targets but didn't catch anything.
What did Pete call him, like Juszczyk?
Juszczyk.
I think he said that.
We had Boye Mafe, and he's like, yeah, I don't know how to say his name.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm just talking about the fullback, man.
Yeah, we'll let you off the hook with that one.
But, I mean, this could be a huge challenge for these guys, the young guys. So this is another one where you think they going into San Francisco, it's going to be tough to win.
All right, let's take two.
All right, so the Mariners are back in action today. They enter tied with the Blue Jays, the top wild card spot, and 5 games clear of the Orioles, who are the first team out of the race. Here's where it shapes up to look good for Seattle. Orioles are at Toronto for 3 games this weekend and still have 4 left against the Astros and 3 against the Yankees and a couple more against the Blue Jays after this weekend.
Who's the biggest threat?
Well, I think the key to all of it is just keeping the Orioles at bay to where you're assuring yourself of one of those 3 spots.
Yeah.
You've got the tiebreaker over Toronto. So I think we want Tampa to lose. We want them to lose as much as possible. And, these guys will beat up on each other throughout that division. But, you just want to be in at this point. So Orioles are the closest threat outside of those top 3. You want them to lose. And then you holding the tiebreaker over Toronto. So you go Tampa.
All right, a chance for the Pac-12 to make a statement tomorrow when UW hosts number 11 Michigan State. And this was an oddly specific stat, Dave, but the Huskies haven't beaten a ranked non-conference opponent from a Power 5 conference at home since 2001 when they beat number 11 Michigan in the season opener. So, yes, non-conference, ranked, Power 5 conference at home. All of that.
With uniforms with a shade of blue in
from
it.
Michigan.
And a right-handed quarterback.
What time are they playing?
Name starts with an L.
Okay, it's in the evening. Yeah.
Seems like a baseball stat. Like one of those, why would you look that up? That speaks to, I guess, what they haven't been able to get done against some of the better teams that have come in from conferences other than the Pac-12.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, the Cougars went out and took one from a Big Ten team, Wisconsin. And, those teams like running the ball, so it'll be a big test for them. Our guy, Ken Walker, came from Michigan State, averaged 6 yards a carry. So defensively, they're going to have to shut him down. But could be a big weekend for both Washington schools. Washington State's hosting Colorado State. And just talked to the great Jessamyn McIntyre, the sideline reporter. She's all fired up about this Cougar team. So go Cougs, go Huskies.
When is she not fired up about the Cougar
team? That's true.
By the way, El Hombre is hoping we're going to do him a solid and beat Michigan State.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
You and I have a lot to do with that.
Got no problem with it.
We'll commiserate and see what we can get done. All right, Take 2 is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberknifeProstate. Coming up, Sam Haggerty jumps into the netting to make a call. He's got his own headband night. I mean, everything's coming up, Haggerty. He's going to join us next here with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle's Sports Station.
Mariners get back to it tonight. Game 1 against the Angels. Cannot wait. It just doesn't feel right when the Mariners aren't playing. I'm just invested, excited about this team. Can't wait to watch them play. And we love watching this guy play. He's become a local hero out here. He's got his own headband night out there, Dave. You know when you've got your own headband night. You've taken the next
step. That's when you've arrived, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who are we talking about? We're talking about the one, the only Sam Haggerty, who's joined us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, you guys. How are you?
We're great. It's good to talk to you again. And man, it's been fun watching how the season's gone, obviously, for the team. This has been great. But for you in particular, because, I mean, you come up, and I don't know that people had expectations or knew what to expect from you. And, you know, you're just kind of this guy who can play anywhere they need you to. You're a switch hitter. Didn't really have a set position per se, but you've transformed into this guy that the fans absolutely adore. You've got your own headband night out there. Do you ever step back and go, man, I can't believe the way this season has gone for me? Or are you not focused on any of that right now?
No, you definitely lay your head down at night, and you're very grateful for how Seattle has
cheered me on this year, and you know, feel so fortunate to have a headband night and even a night that is remotely about me. But like you said, it's more about the team and what the Mariners have done throughout the course of this year, and we got a lot left to prove.
So, Sam, you got the headband, but also you've got the walk-up song. And we talked to you about this out at the ballpark, but I think it's really funny. You said your mom called it the home movies,
yeah,
you know, some of
the
Godfather and things like that. How excited is your mom and your family back home?
They're very excited. They've always been baseball fans, so just having me being able to play and contribute to a team like this, you know, everybody's extremely happy and looking forward to each night and every game that we play here moving forward.
Any chance they're going to come out for games in the future here? We've got a home stretch here coming up.
Yeah, I believe my parents and potentially my brother may all come up to Seattle kind of right there towards the end of the season in hopes that we host the playoff series.
Hey, as far as your career goes, Sam, were there ever any doubts? Were there ever any moments where you're like, man, I don't know if I can do this at this level or if I'm going to get a chance? It seems like you just never really got a ton of opportunity. Just looking at, you only had 4 at-bats in 11 games with the Mets, and then you had 50 at-bats in 2020, 86, and this is the most you've played, the most you've been given a chance, and you're certainly making it pay off. Was there ever a doubt, or was it just about opportunity?
I mean, there's always a little bit of doubt in anything that you're trying to accomplish. But with that little bit of doubt, you have to remain steadfast in your perseverance through everything that you go through in life. And like you said, you're just waiting for an opportunity, and you hope you've done everything you can to prepare for it and execute as best you can. But there's always a little bit of doubt. You know, without doubt, we don't have that fear of losing our opportunity.
Hey, Sam, can you kind of sense from the crowd, you know, you talked about how good the fans have been here in the home games, but can you kind of sense the two-decade drought of the playoffs, or is that something that doesn't really come to mind?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. You don't really notice it, but then when you do realize and you take time to recognize it's been 20 years, you can feel it in the stadium. You can feel it in the energy. I mean, we're filling up Tuesday games, Wednesday games, and I think the city of Seattle is ready for some October baseball.
Oh, yeah. They are more than ready for October baseball. That's an understatement. Hey, just as far as your level of comfort out there defensively, I mean, you play everywhere, and I think last time we talked to you, you're a natural infielder, but you know, you've been out there in left field, you've been out there in right field, you're played center field. Does it feel natural now? Is there any part of it that you're still adjusting to, or does it feel like no matter where they put you, it just feels normal?
It has gotten easier throughout this year, my transition into the outfield, and you know, I have a bit of a routine and a prep that depends on what position I'm playing, and I feel comfortable with that routine, that you know, whatever I may be asked to do during the game, that I have a good chance to get it done.
Hey, Sam, who's the guy on the team that you've learned the most from, that you kind of, I don't want to say look up to, but, you know, somebody that's maybe helped you out?
Man, that's tough. Man, that list is long. If we were to go with this particular team, you know, I have really enjoyed watching Eugenio Suarez play the game. I love to see the way he comes into work every single day. You know, he's the same guy. He's consistent. He has done nothing but produce for us this year, and it's been a joy to watch him from afar.
So, who came up with the name Swaggerty? Where did that originate?
Your guys' guess is as good as mine. It seems like it was there and it stuck, and next thing you know, it's on a headband.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're not on Twitter, right? Are you a social media guy?
I am not on Twitter, and I'm not really big on social media.
Good man. Good man.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if you'd seen some of the caricatures out there or some of the cartoons. I showed one to my co-host here, Dave, and it said Ham Swaggerty, and it was a ham with, you know, cigarette and cool clothes. And have you seen any of those things that have been drawn?
You know, I've actually seen some posters held up in the stadium, in the stands of the big ham head. I saw one, my head on top of the Godfather suit. You know, people are very creative these days.
Yeah. How cool is that, though? That I mean, just getting that kind of, you become like a local hero out here. That's very cool.
It's very cool, and it's hard to put into words, and it's, you know, I'm just enjoying the ride.
So, Sam, I'm thinking that you don't wear the headband off the field, but, I mean, because if you did, then you would be instantly recognized. But are you starting to get people coming up to you on the street or when you're out and about in Seattle?
I'm pretty low-key, so, I drive to the field, then I drive home, and I'm pretty much on autopilot, so I stay pretty out of the public eye. But I don't think anybody noticed me without the headband.
What do you do outside of baseball? I mean, are you a guy that'll binge watch TV shows? Or are you a movie guy? Video games? What do you like to do outside of baseball?
I like to read. I like to play chess. My girlfriend and I we started a little project together that we like to do. I stay away from video games. I am a bit of a movie buff myself, but I try to keep it pretty low key, pretty relaxed. I mean, it's spend time with family, talk to them on the phone, and, you know, get ready for tomorrow.
By the way, that statement, hanging out with your girlfriend, just broke the hearts of half of our listeners.
Yeah.
They just went, no.
Well, look, you got two things that you're staying away from: video games and social media. And I think that's just going to make you smarter. Those things. I remember I got hooked on a video game, and, you know, I thought, sheesh, I could have learned like a new language with the time I put in that thing. So, very wise, very wise.
What made you stay away from social media? Is that just something you never had an interest in? I'm sure people probably tell you about things they read, but what made you shy away from that?
I guess I just didn't find much enjoyment to it. I really didn't understand it. Like, it really came on the scene like for college for me, high school and college. And by that time, I was pretty much head first into trying to become a professional baseball player and trying to make my way as an adult. And I just didn't find, you know, much of an attachment to it as, you know, most other people enjoy the social media scene. It just wasn't for me.
Hey, Sam, you said Suarez seems like just such a sweet guy, just nice guy, you know, guy that you kind of like to emulate or hang around with. But what about the funniest guy on this roster? Is it somebody in the bullpen by any chance?
You might have to give it to Suarez too. I mean, he is the gregarious, outgoing, cracks jokes. I mean, he's got one-liners. He is phenomenal clubhouse guy and a phenomenal player. And, you know, I really enjoy his presence.
Good vibes only. Good vibes. Yeah. By the way, you'll be happy to know we have texters texting in taking credit for Swaggerty. Saying we've been calling him that on Reddit all year. And, you know, so I don't know who created it.
They're fighting over you, Sam.
Yeah. No, I came up with it. Hey, last thing before we let you go, just as I mentioned, you've played more this year than you have in your professional career at this level. How do you feel with 20 games left in the regular season?
I feel pretty good. My legs feel pretty good. My shoulder coming back from surgery still feels pretty strong. I think myself and the training staff have done a great job of mitigating any sort of nicks that come up during the season, and I'm looking forward to another 20.
Well, Sam, it's been so much fun watching you and the team this season. I can't wait for the game tonight. I can't wait for the postseason, and happy that you're part of it. So, as always, thanks so much for taking time with us, and we look forward to talking again.
All right. Thank you very much, guys.
There you go. There's Sam Haggerty of your Seattle Mariners. If you missed any of that conversation with Sam or any of our guests, anything throughout the show, just head to seattlesports.com, click the podcast tab, click on our picture after the show. It'll be right there. And as Thumb and Wyman tell you each and every time, click subscribe. Then you never have to go through the process again.
Sam's an intellectual, man. He's reading. He's playing chess.
Yeah, he doesn't have time for this foolishness of Twitter and Instagram and all of that.
I like it.
Wow. All right, there you go.
He's a thinker, Bob.
He is.
Some guys aren't thinkers.
Oh, there are a few of those out there, certainly.
Yeah, on the text toy, especially. I'm just trying to rile up the text toy right now.
I like that we got multiple people taking credit for Swaggerty.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Awesome. I love it.
All right, coming up, as you might expect, we're never short on material for this topic. What's bugging Bob? Coming your way next. It is Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710.
What's bugging Bob?
It could be traffic.
Hey.
It might be Angels fans.
I hate you. I don't even know you.
And it's definitely Stephen A. Smith.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
It's time to find out what's bugging Bob.
Today is easy. Oh, today is easy, Dave.
I'm going to guess traffic.
I left my house at 12:05 in order to get here by 1. We had to tape an interview. So, I mean, I don't live in Tacoma. I live in West Seattle. I think it's just under 8 miles. It took me, well, I was late. I didn't get here till, what was it, 10 after 1?
10 after 1, yeah.
Yeah, it took me over an hour to get here today on my final drive, I will say. In that route, the route that they've had in place for the past couple of years, which is so inept, so ridiculous, but the West Seattle Bridge is opening Sunday, so I will no longer have to take this fakakta route that I've been taking every single day, which one day you can zip right through for some reason. There'll be no traffic. You could leave at the same exact time the following day and do like I did today and sit there for an hour. And the worst part about it, and I can't stand when people do this, as you're sitting in that line, it's a one-lane thing. You're wrapping around to try to get onto the First Avenue South Bridge. So it's just a long line that just goes forever. Just everybody sitting there. It's these guys that will drive all the way to the front of the line and just start nudging in. They're just going to cut everybody off that's been sitting there forever and try to just force their way in. Those people have a special place in my heart.
Well, when there's
I'd like to have words.
When there's two, when you see that the right lane is going to disappear, you know what I'm, is that what you're talking about?
Well,
yeah, talking about where there's two lanes that are going to go down into one.
Well, no, there's only one lane wraps around, and it's going probably half a mile long of cars just stopped, and people riding in the straightaway lane, not the right turn lane, which is what I'm in. They're riding the straight lane. They'll ride it all the way up until the last second.
And then cut in.
Yeah, and try to bully their way in there.
You know why? Because there's always some dope on their phone and they're not keeping up with the car in front of it. And I always honk at those people. I'm like, come on, you're screwing us here.
Yeah. Yeah. You spend that amount of time sitting and waiting and some jamoke's going to come up and just try to nudge in front of you. No, no.
That's not happening. Not on my watch.
Not in front of my car. It's not. You want to try to nudge in behind me and upset the guy behind me, help yourself, but you're not getting in front of me.
Well, and sometimes what I'm talking about, well, there's two lanes going into one. You should have both sides, even if you're in the disappear. It comes together like a zipper, right?
Yeah.
And it's more efficient that way.
The zipper is the key. It's supposed to be every other car.
Yeah, exactly.
That important skill is lost on drivers out
exactly.
here.
Exactly. And everybody gets in the lane and feels like they're doing the right thing. No, you're making it less efficient.
Yeah. It's madness.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how people don't understand the every other car, the zipper, the premise behind it.
Yeah. You know, it's every more efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should just flow together. But no. There's
because I've gotten dirty looks from people for going up in the lane. But no, it's supposed to work that way. More efficient. Ken, since we're talking about traffic, things like that, can I just I try to do this maybe 3-4 times a year. People of Sammamish. The roundabout is not a stop sign at all. It's not at all a stop sign. You don't need to stop unless there's someone in there that you're going to run into. Okay,
yeah. I'm done.
It's not a stop sign.
The roundabout throws a lot of people off. Like, what do I do here? There's a yield sign because somebody could be coming in front of you. But
yield doesn't
mean stop.
No.
You pay attention. You're yielding to oncoming traffic. There's no oncoming traffic. You go.
Well, and then you see a car that's like way around, coming around. Yes, it's coming, and you have to wait for it. But they'll like wait, sit and wait for it. Like, no, just go, man. Like I said, I'm a Seattleite. I love Seattle. Been here since 87. But we don't really have the urgency as far as, to get somewhere. Like, I'd much rather be where I'm going than sitting in my car.
Yes.
Some people in Seattle are not that way, though. They'd rather sit in their car.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Somebody said, Bob, that's called a Texas merge. They don't care about others, just themselves. I've never heard of that.
But, never heard that either.
Yeah. And others are saying, nah, you get in where you fit in. You just go to the front of the line and merge when the cones start. It's like, meanwhile, you've got 300 cars that have been sitting in that, and somehow you're disrespectful for doing that. It's just, Yeah, it's madness. But yeah, today is presumably the final day. Yeah. And I was actually thinking that when I was leaving this morning, like, ah, man, my last day taking this stupid route that they came up with, this one-lane route going through residential neighborhoods, wrapping around one lane. It's just, I can't believe that's been the route for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And this is the final day. And this is, and boy, they send it off in fine fashion. I was like, ugh.
The worst, they saved the worst for the last, right? Hey, by the way, whoever texted in 206 number, I think you said, Mike, that heard me on the morning roast this morning down in San Francisco, can you text back in? Because if you heard that, was the guy annoying or not? That's my question to you, 206. I got up at 8:30.
The way you portrayed it, he sounded like he was more than annoying. And then looking at his video.
And then you saw his face.
Yeah, it's punchable. Yeah.
No, I wasn't mad or anything. I was just like, come on, man. Or, you know, he was trying to get me riled up and do this, you know, a whole thing about the rivalry. And I was like, yeah, the two slappies on the radio are not going to rejuvenate this rivalry. And then he started in on running Marshawn Lynch at the 1 yard line and was screaming and yelling like, you know, the wacky radio hosts.
Yeah.
Just trying to like get to my coffee. And so, yeah,
he took the time to get up early to do that. Yeah. He's just going to
text in. If you heard that and tell me, was that guy annoying or not?
Yeah.
I'm 99% sure he was really annoying.
Yeah. But again, I didn't hear it.
Got a reply. Yes, he was.
Your portrayal of it sounded more than annoying. By the way, somebody, the 425 says studies have proven that you're supposed to wait until the very end to get over. Otherwise, you create that 300 long line of cars.
But that's the zipper we're talking about. You had a different thing.
Yeah, this is a line that's, these aren't merging lanes. This is not a zipper. This is, you got two lanes that are going straight that are headed south, and you've got one lane, the far right lane, that's turning onto the First Avenue South Bridge. It's the only lane. They're not two. It's not two merging into one. So what happens is people will get into that far right straight lane, headed straight, and then at the last second get into the turn lane.
You know what that does too? Then that slows down traffic the throughway too, because they're waiting to get in.
Well, that's what happened today, because there were like three cars that were just sitting with their blinker on, because our line wasn't moving. Obviously, the bridge was up, so we're just sitting there. And these guys are like, "Well, I'm gonna nudge in here, so I'm gonna sit in this straight lane, the straightaway lane." And everybody's going around them, you know. So yeah, you're right. That's exactly what happened today. And yeah, that's I don't do that. I think that you're being a clown. If you're, hey, I see all these people waiting, I'm just going to go to the front and just barge my way in here. That's not how that works.
All right.
You don't do that, Dave.
No, it's just not done.
We live in a society here.
We're living in a society. Bob, were you in the car going, serenity now?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's all nonsense, I've heard, though. It is Friday, which means it's a Snoqualmie Casino Football Friday on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Coming up, Mike Blowers is going to join us to break down what to expect for the Mariners over the final 20 games of the regular season. That is coming your way next with Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710.